This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions. You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 325, Blizzard's Christmas Present. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today's podcast is also sponsored by Doghouse Systems. Get great gaming PCs over at doghousesystems.com, and when you use the code BACON, you'll get double the memory. That's doghousesystems.com. Use the code BACON.
Alliance. Horde. Together, we drove back the Burning Legion.
The enemy is among you.
Together, we dethroned the Lich King.
Is it truly righteousness that drives you? I wonder.
Together, we endured the shattering of our world and vanquished the aspect of death.
I am the Cataclysm!
And together, as the mists of Pandaria part, we will encounter our greatest enemy.
I will show no mercy!
We need to stand together.
Ourselves. This is All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. And now your hosts, Medros, Nanania, and Ro.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Ro. How you doing there, Ro?
I'm doing very good, and I think I'll learn in the future that hitting the record button before you start saying things is a very wise thing to do.
When you're doing a podcast, that's a great plan. When it's stuff you don't want to have recorded, that's really a good time to not say anything.
Exactly.
And to not hit record. Especially if it's illegal stuff, you really want to avoid the record button then.
Right. I know when to keep quiet. Apparently, I don't know when to start talking and when to make sure it's recorded. But I think we have that all squared away now. Fortunately...
So you make a great gangster. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Fortunately, I think I'll only have to say the same thing twice for about 5 minutes. So, not too bad.
Indeed. So we have lots of stuff to talk about this week. Lots of very, very interesting news that's happened. Completely changing the plan for the show 180 degrees. But let's start off with how your week was.
My week went pretty well. I got exalted with the Klaxian, got the Wakener title, which went great. Got a new Scorpion mount, which is awesome. The storyline and the lore for the end of the Klaxie, if you're big into lore and all that stuff, you definitely want to finish up that faction, because you learn some very interesting things about the origins of the Klaxie and that they're tied into some stuff that we've dealt with before. I also got to grab my achievement for killing Galleon. I lucked out and managed to get into a group that had the claim on him while Alliance and Horde were wrestling with each other back and forth. Got a nice upgrade piece from Galen for my waist also. Outside of that though, didn't really do a whole lot of normal raiding, mostly LFR stuff. It's the holidays, so people have tricky schedules, and it's just like that every year. It doesn't really surprise me, so I wasn't too disappointed about it. But got plenty of Shaw Crystals in LFR. It was like Great Father Winter had blessed LFR or something, because I was getting purple drops on more than half of the bosses that I downed, which, being an enchanter, is a great thing. That's money. And outside, I just like an hour ago, an hour before we started recording the show, I finished up my Raiding with Leashes achievement. Jan from Something Suggestive, she and I have been going into the old raid dungeons, claiming pets here and there, and we bought a couple of the pets off the auction house to complete it, because you can get credit for the achievement with pets bought off the auction house too. And so now I am the proud owner of a Mr. Bigglesworth. And that is pretty much my week. How about yours?
You know, I could really use a Bigglesworth as a you know, Christmas gift, you know.
They can't be caged. I'll give you a phoenix, though.
Well, okay. So, my week was pretty boring, actually. Didn't do any raiding, not even LFR, just farming. I've been preparing for my in-laws to come in for Christmas, so I haven't had a lot of time in WoW. Even on my days off, I was busy and busy, busy, just doing all kinds of stuff all over the place, and planning and planning and planning, cleaning, lots of cleaning. As for, you know, kills and stuff, I did have a chance at Galleon. However, it was not fun, because the Horde, the person who invited me was on a PvP server. And the Horde kept coming in while we were gathering our group. There's a couple of Hordies there, and they were sweeping in and basically causing him to despawn. First time they did that, I kind of freaked out, because I'm like, what the hell is happening to the boss? Like, really? In the end, you know, a paladin's good, but when you're the last man standing against, you know, maybe at least 20 Horde, maybe 40, I don't know exactly how many there were, and a big dinosaur.
This is where you're supposed to say there were 60 Horde, and you fended them off for a good 5 minutes before you fell.
I can't even say that, because I think I may have lasted about 10 seconds after the last person before me died, and that's purely because it took time for them to get from the tail end, so to speak, to the front end, because at that point I had the aggro of the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Galleon's a pretty big boss, and yeah, with him hammering on me, plus the Hordies, plus the adds that he spawns, didn't last long once I had full aggro.
Didn't have too much resilience gear, huh?
No, oddly, I don't need that a lot on my RP server where I don't PvP. I did have some, though, because one of my pieces of gear is actually a PvP piece, but yeah, still not helping a lot.
Yeah, I can't imagine. By the way, guys, if you're wondering why we haven't asked Nanania about her week and where she is, she's MIA at the moment. She might join in later in the show, but yeah, we haven't forgotten about her. She's not gone off the show or anything like that. We just don't know where she is right now, so we hope everything's okay there.
I'm certain even if we tried to get her off the show, if she was on the show, we hadn't talked to her by now, she would have said something.
Right.
Yeah, it was a very interesting attempt. I did thank the person for inviting me, but I have not died in PvP in a very long time. I'm a paladin. I don't generally die if it's one-on-one or even two-on-one against most classes. But yeah, I had no hope in heck against, you know, a bunch of Hordies, a bunch of, I can't remember what the name of them is, the adds that Galleon spawns, plus Galleon himself.
Salius's Warband.
Yeah, that's it. It was a very interesting effort. I appreciated the chance to see Galleon. I think I'll wait for him to be spawned on my server next time.
Well, and we'll get to this a little bit later. The next patch will make getting a kill off of Galleon a lot more easier, but we'll get into that a bit later in the show.
Indeed. That, I gotta say, after my run of Galleon, I'm excited for that. Very excited for that. So we will we'll talk about that a bit later.
And now the news from around the world of Warcraft.
The first news that I want to talk about is an email that I got earlier this week, and it's kind of weird for me. The show's now been around for a few years. We can easily say that. It's actually almost near its 6-year anniversary. And, you know, for 5 years, I didn't feel like the show got a lot of acknowledgement in the community, especially from Blizzard, who acknowledged a lot of other sites like The Instance Podcast, WoW Insider, and so on, but didn't really, you know, pay much attention to the lower or the smaller sites like ours. But Blizzard has recently begun really branching out beyond those. At 6 o'clock in the evening, a couple of days ago, I got an email from one of the CMs alerting me that they'd be announcing some stuff at midnight PST. I was thrilled, to be honest.
Did you stay up till midnight?
No, because I had a doctor's appointment at 9 a.m. the next morning, and I needed to go to bed.
I stayed up till midnight.
If I didn't have that doctor's appointment, I would have stayed up. As soon as I saw what they had to announce, I wrote something up right away for the site, got it up as quick as I could. And then you could say a few hours later that all hell broke loose.
The floodgates were certainly open, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. Let's kind of stick to what we're talking about here at this point. And that is that Blizzard did kind of give a bit of a warning or a bit of information about the upcoming 5.2 patch. And we called it. It is essentially Zul'Again, but with a bit of Mogu rolled in, which we kind of had a feeling was going to be coming.
I like Trolduar better.
Trolduar? Okay. We'll go with Trolduar. Because, wow. Ulduar, this is definitely Pandaria's Ulduar. Good to say that. The Thunder King is Risen is the headline on this image that Blizzard sent out to the fan sites. Shows the front of the new raid coming in 5.2. And it promises the PTR coming early January. So, yeah, by the 10th of January, we will have a PTR where we could get in and see the content and see how awesome it is. What do you think about the fact that we're getting this PTR right after the holidays?
I think that it's very much in flow with the timeline that a certain individual on our show talked about not too long ago.
Yes, a certain crustacean did say about 4 months.
Yep, and so 5.1 came out on November 27th, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed.
And Greg Street, Ghostcrawler, was on our show, and we'd asked that infamous question, so how long before a patch? And he had said with larger content patches, we're aiming for 4 months. Well, 4 months from November 27th would be late March, so it makes a lot of sense to me to have a PTR up about two and a half months before then.
It's going to be raid, so I mean, there'll be raid content to test, but there's going to be lots of other stuff, and we actually have already seen some data mine content, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. So based upon just the teaser, you know, tell me what your kind of thoughts were, because I know what mine were, and excited is an understatement.
Just based off the teaser, when I first saw that, and I saw the picture of what the place looked like, a couple people on Twitter made some comments about this that I'd really have to echo. Although the devs were talking about being, you know, very Ulduar-esque, you take one look at that fortress, and the first thing I'm thinking of is it feels kind of Pandaria's Black Temple to me, you know? Very ominous with the lightning and all that stuff in the background. And it felt like, it looked like a place you would go to at the final patch of an expansion. It's kind of interesting how this is all building up, because I have a theory that this raid may be the last raid that we go to that is on Pandaria. I don't think that Missa Pandaria is going to end right away, but I think that the raids in the future patches for the rest of this expansion will probably happen elsewhere. I feel like this is kind of the culmination of the Pandaria story, because in a lot of ways, Lei Shen, the Thunder King, is really the biggest of the bads as far as the current history of Pandaria goes.
It is pretty incredible, I'll admit, to imagine you know, where this is going and what kind of content we're seeing. I'm not entirely certain I agree with this being the last Pandaren based one, because I still think there's a possibility we'll see one more Shaw, you know, discovered in Pandaria, maybe one that's been kind of hidden in secret and not saying a lot of stuff so far. I don't have any basis for this other than we know there were 7 Shaw. We only have seen 6.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a possibility that we may see the 7th in the final raid, and I'm not going to say much more than that at this point, at least, because it's kind of got me wondering what exactly is going to happen in this coming expansion or this coming patch, because we saw that the Thunder King had been resurrected in questing content, and it's very interesting to see the trolls and this big, and I gotta say, it looks massive, this dungeon. It definitely, you know, its size reminds me a lot of Alduar in several different ways. But I wonder, you know, the only other thing I can think, if we beat Lei Shen, who is the Thunder King, for those who haven't figured that out yet, you know, the only thing I can think of beyond that would be a Big Sha.
Right.
You are right. If they're, you know, without anything big else out there, anything else big out there, the only place to go next for a raid is going back to Azeroth and the Eastern Kingdoms or Kalimdor.
Yeah, unless there's yet another small mist-shrouded island off the coast that we're not aware of, which they could certainly do something like that. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me. I just feel like the way the story is going and the build-up so far, I feel like this is the climax, so to speak, for the Pandaria story as a whole. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's gonna be no more new stuff on Pandaria. I mean, I think the war is gonna definitely escalate and stuff after the Thunder King falls. But as far as threats and stuff primarily native to Pandaria, the Seventh Sha thing, sure, that's a possibility. And it is interesting that we haven't seen or really don't have a knowledge about what the Seventh Sha is. I'm kind of surprised, actually, that the Lore Walkers don't have any information on, or at least that I'm aware of. Is there a list of what all the Seven Sha are? So, you know, there's hatred, doubt, anger. I feel like I'm trying to name the seven dwarves here.
It can sometimes,
but I'm trying
like
to think
that,
what
yeah.
the name of the seventh. I'm trying to think of what the name of the Seventh Sha would be.
Yeah, I mean, we do have you know some information we from the Emperor Lorewalker's thing. Seven Burdens of Shao Hao. I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize for anybody who knows how to say that properly. You know, we know that he had seven burdens, and went by that. We had the Sha. We have doubt, despair, fear, hatred, anger, violence. Those are the ones we know so far. But we don't. I mean, there is no statement as to what the seventh was. I know there's some theories out there, and I'm thinking that there's probably some kind of a greater basis for the choice of doubt, despair, fear, anger, hatred, and violence that would probably point to what the seventh is.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, I am not that well read in such text to try and figure out what that would be.
Might be the Sha of Happiness, you never know.
That is definitely a possibility, but I
that
doubt
that
it.
Could be the seventh Sha. The greatest evil could be happiness itself. I mean, without light, you can't have shadow, right? So, okay, I'm joking around here, but it's kind of funny.
Some of the guesses, just in a quick Google search here, one of the theories I'm seeing here kind of points to the eighth part of that series of Lorewalker's discoveries, pointing to what the seventh Sha might be. And the seventh one reads the following: at the dusk of the final day, the sky was bathed in green fire, and the very ground trembled in terror. But the emperor was not afraid. His mind was clear of any doubt or despair. He feasted and he sang as the sky tore open. And it goes on basically to describe what the last day was. There's a lot of different possibilities. As for what it is, I think we'll know by the end of the expansion whether or not we're going to expect. I don't know. I don't think it's Sha of Happiness, though.
Some things that I'm just taking a look at based on some forum posts I'm glancing at, and this is kind of interesting. If Garrosh is tied in with the seventh Sha, a Sha of Pride would make sense.
I think I've seen that a couple of times on various sites. I'm thinking that either Matthew Rossi or Shade have suggested that possibility in the past. Mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend people checking out their Know Your Lore articles to guess on that, because they are some of the wisest and best guessed people I know. It's definitely one of those things that I'm very curious about to see where we're going to be, what we're going to see in the future. some have guessed, and I'm thinking that I might partially agree that there's a possibility that the Seventh Shaw may be inhabiting somebody who we will see at the end of this expansion, hopefully in a pool of blood. But we'll have to wait and see whether those guesses are right.
And you had mentioned Matthew Rossi with WoW Insider. And for those of you who haven't necessarily done all the quest line, if you've been taking the game, you know, rather casually, if you haven't done all of the zones and all the quests because you're, you know, leveling up through battlegrounds or dungeons or whatnot, one thing you might want to do is check out Matthew Rossi's article on WoW Insider about the Thunder King, which he just put up a day or two ago in just after the release of this information about 5.2, and it goes on to talk a little bit about who the Thunder King is and how he's tied to Pandaria. Something interesting that I hadn't known was that the Thunder King had reigned for about 170 years, and that Lei Shen was responsible for entrusting a lot of magic to the Zandalari trolls, so it's very possible that the Zandalari are the force to be reckoned with that they are, you know, even in the past of Warcraft history, due to the actions of Lei Shen all that long time ago.
Like I said, I'm very interested to see what we're going to see here going forward and what's going to happen. Like I said, it's something that the lore, you know, masters or guessers or whatever you want to call them out there, definitely have lots of ideas, and I do hope we see more of those ideas as we get closer to the end of the expansion. I'm very curious to see who's going to be right. I have no doubt somebody is. I don't know who it is.
It'll definitely be interesting. We'll be theorizing and speculating for weeks to come, that's for certain.
Weeks. Months to come. Months. Months. And months. But let's talk a little bit about our sponsor, and then we'll get onto some of the more impressive news of the week.
Yep.
Our sponsor, of course, is the great folks over at Audible. They make great audiobooks and have some of the greatest narrators that you'll ever, ever hear. Some of these folks are so impressive and capture their subjects so well that you almost wonder if they know something or if they have information that some of us just don't have. You know, some of the folks that I've looked at myself for, you know, narration as some of the people that you want to emulate as a podcaster, because, you know, there's very strong similarities between narrators of audiobooks and podcasters. We both, you know, speak authoritatively with our voices, and there are some of us out there who even do voice acting in our podcast. Some of the narrators, I think, eclipse beyond what I can imagine any podcaster could do. Audible pick this week is actually going to be a pick from the Steve Jobs autobiography by Walter Isaacson. It's narrated by Dylan Barker, and it is a really well-written book. I read it in paper form, or well, ebook form, before I listened to it, and I really think the narrator on this book really brought it home and really did a very good job just really capturing the character and the appearance of Steve Jobs in this book and everything that happened in his time. I definitely recommend checking it out. This is a bit of a sample of that now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Again, that he would make a good subject. His persistence baffled me. He was known to guard his privacy, and I had no reason to believe that he'd ever read any of my books. Maybe someday, I continued to say. But in 2009, his wife, Loreen Powell, said bluntly, "If you're ever going to do a book on Steve, you'd better do it now." He had just taken a second medical leave. I confessed to her that when he had first raised the idea, I hadn't even known he was sick. "Almost nobody knew," she said. He had called me right before he was going to be operated on for cancer, and he was still keeping it secret, she explained. I decided then to write this book. Jobs surprised me by readily acknowledging that he would have no control over it, or even the right to see it in advance.
So that, again, is the book Steve Jobs, written by Walter Isaacson and narrated by Dylan Baker. Sorry, I said Barker before. Baker is his last name, sorry. And we definitely want to recommend you check that out. Check it out at Audible. That's bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. And you can get a free trial, one free audiobook, and you can really get a sample and really get a feel for what you're going to get as a member of Audible for a full month.
And all books right now only cost one credit, right?
That's what I believe I heard. I don't know if that was a short time thing, but definitely, you know, check it out. You get a lot more information over at the Audible site, and just go to our link. That's again bit.ly/ATABook.
Cool.
We talked about kind of the lead up that we got, the hints we got early in the day, a couple of days ago. Let's talk a little bit about what we've seen since then, shall we?
Yep, and before we go any further, I guess it's time to put out a spoiler warning, yes?
I think that's a very wise option at this point, because we may talk about stuff that could be considered spoilery.
On your guard.
Danger approaches!
Guard yourself! Beware!
Run away!
Here there be spoilers.
The first sign I heard of this was... I think the first one I heard was probably WoW, or well, probably MMO Champion. And I gotta say, I was really... I'm gonna say impressed with the fact that they got data so quickly. I mean, I don't know how, you know, WoWhead and MMO Champion and other data miners get access to this content so early. But within an hour or two, I think, of the actual announcement of the 5.2 PTR, they had everything going up, and everything was awesome, to be honest.
So, I'm actually curious about that. Now, I would have to think that, considering as reputable as, you know, WoWhead and MMO Champion are... I have no idea how the process works. Do you think that Blizzard says, okay, we know you guys are going to data mine anyhow, so here, have access to the client? Or do you think there's a leak at Blizzard that's, you know, somehow secretly in a dark alley giving them the client? I've always been curious how that all works out.
I've seen a lot of different guesses as to how all of these folks seem to get this information so quickly, so early, mm-hmm. compared to everybody else. It is very hard to try and guess, because one of the natural guesses has to be that somebody at Blizzard leaks it, which right. I don't imagine Blizzard would be happy about unless they asked them to, which is entirely possible. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It is entirely possible they could be asking people to, you know, oh, just slip this over to them. But it's also possible that Blizzard just puts the files into a certain place and somebody at WoW Insider or WoWhead or MMO Champion just simply keeps guessing. You know, if you see the file structure enough, you can guess, you know, often enough you can guess where the, you know, where the file is going to be located, what the naming structure of the file is, and at that point, all you generally need to do is guess a build number, and that's fairly easy to guess based upon the last build you had, because you always go based upon the last build. So from a technical perspective, if your last build was build 5632, well, you're probably going to be either 5.3 or, you know, anything beyond that. So it doesn't take a lot to just simply type in each number numerical increment until you hit on one that actually downloads a file to you.
They're kind of... So you're saying it's possible they could be trying to ping the download servers to get information on a certain file, and then eventually they just get access to it. That's one possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing I could think of. You know, there are a lot of different possibilities from, you know, simply, you know, guessing the file, to having somebody leak it to you, to having an arrangement that... Okay, well, we're going to announce this information, give it to you, give you the file, you know, an hour or two later, and then, you know, have at it. or it could just be that these sites just guess. There's so many options, so many possibilities. It's hard to even imagine, you know, what actually is happening.
I will wear my tinfoil hat and say that they have connections. I don't think they're doing any kind of weird hacking or guessing. I think there are unwritten agreements and rules that we're not aware of, much like the rules of Brawler's Guild, but these are really actually not talked about, and that's what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a possibility, and I think that's, you know, the more likely option, that somebody at Blizzard has the authorization or whatever to get out there and just tell people, you know, certain people like those sites, where those files are located and how to download them so they can start data mining. I would imagine that Blizzard would be a lot angrier, especially with some of the history that, you know, sites like MMO Champion have, where they data mined alpha content from, I think it was Wrath, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Blizzard truly, you know, did not want those sites to have it, they wouldn't get anything, and they do get stuff. So it would be surprising to me, to be honest, if there wasn't some kind of an agreement or arrangement in all of that, you know, says, okay, we'll give you this if you guys work with us on that kind of thing. Scratch your back, basically, kind of thing.
But enough conspiracy theory and chatter and stuff. Let's dig into the meat of this, huh?
Of course, we do know that one of the bosses of this raid will be, of course, Lei Shen, the Thunder King. Total of 13 bosses. One will be a bonus boss for when you defeat Lei Shen in heroic mode.
Yeah, kind of like how Sinestra was in Bastion of Twilight back in Cataclysm.
So we know from the achievements who the bosses are going to be. There's Council of Elders, Dark Animus, Darumu, the Forgotten, Horridon, Iron Quan, Ji Kun, Jinrock the Breaker, which of course sounds very trollish. Lei Shen, of course, Megara, Primordius, Raiden, Tortoise, and the Twin Consorts.
Yep. So, and another thing, some of the models, of course, through the data mining have come out. Some of the things that I can pretty much put together is the one that's called Tortoise, obviously, is the turtle one. I think the twin consorts are probably referring to the two female Mogu model files that appeared. So, which is kind of reminiscent of the whole Eredar twins fight in Sunwell. So that's why I think that is. As far as that 13th boss, I'm going to guess that Durumu the Forgotten is that 13th optional boss. Just the name alone would seem to imply that he's the boss that everyone has forgotten about, you know?
Yeah, that kind of goes along with, I think, what Wowhead had put together. They had actually gone through and did a bit more than others had to try and lay out what we're going to see out of that expansion, or out of that raid, I should say. And they'd kind of actually put together even descriptions of what the bosses were like. I'm trying to find that.
Those were probably data mined from, I'm guessing, dungeon journal files?
That I believe. There were some that were missing, but there was a fair bit of information on that. And they actually had it listed which one was the final boss. I'm trying to find that on their site right now, and I'm having a bit of a tough time because they are quite hectic and all over the place there for content and what exactly is coming. They do have some really great quest information as well. I'm just trying to find the post. I'm pretty sure it was over on their site, but it could have been on Wowhead or WoW Insider, MMO Champion, I should say. It's just kind of as always happens when we're in data mine mode. It's pretty kind of all over the place when it comes to finding the content.
And the funny thing is that as much information as we know right now, I mean, one thing that's always a common tendency with data mining is a week or two from now, these sites will still end up digging up stuff that was in the files at the beginning that we just didn't know about. I mean, we'll still be seeing new stuff tossed at us, I think, over the next week or two that were already in the files. They just haven't dug far enough yet.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's always lots of content, more content than I think most of those sites will admit than they could even guess at without, you know, being able to see it. There's stuff that we won't know is stuff we need to actually take note of until the actual PTR launches in early January. So, you know, we are by no means at the end of the data mining for this this patch here. There's some bosses that don't have descriptions. Jinrock, Council of Elders, Jikun, Dormu, Dark Animus, Iron Quan, Twin Consorts, and Raiden. Those are the ones that do not have descriptions yet. But yeah, some really interesting descriptions of the bosses so far.
Yeah, I'm going to call it right now. The boss called Raiden, R-A-D-E-N. He's going to use lightning. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wears a funny hat.
And he is the 13th boss.
Raiden's the 13th boss?
Yes.
That's interesting. I totally would have thought it was Durumu the Forgotten.
I agree. Raiden, definitely going to be a lightning boss.
Well, it's totally a Mortal Kombat reference, so...
Yes.
Of course, that's also a reference to the God of Lightning is just Raiden, so... I'm wondering if Raiden refers to a troll god of thunder, or if Raiden is just simply a troll or a Moku or something. I'm going to guess we're probably dealing with some sort of, you know, demigod entity or something, especially if you're talking about some heroic only boss.
The Horridan one is going to be very interesting. It's a Dinomancer. That's going to be very interesting. And yes, Dinomancer, dinosaurs.
There's dinosaurs,
lots of dinosaurs.
Mounts too.
Oh yes. Yes. There was definitely some very interesting data mined mounts and models. Again, some of them, we don't know whether they're going to be mounts in just the raid or, you know, stuff, but lots of really neat looking mounts. Some Stegosaurus mounts, I think that is. Those are Stegosaurus, right?
There's Triceratops and Pterodactyls. Those are the ones that we've seen so far. And something from the official patch notes, which may tie into where these mounts are coming from, there are, during the course of patch 5.2, and I'm just going down really quickly to the part here where this is mentioned. They say in the official patch notes, Zandalari forces have begun scouting the shores of Pandaria, searching for the perfect invasion point. The Zandalari can be found in Krasarang Wilds, Dread Wastes, Townlong Steps, Jade Forests, and Kunlai Summit. Zandalari scouts can be handled by one or two players, while elite Zandalari Warbringers will likely require a full party of five heroes. Defeat Warbringers to gain special drops, including crafting materials, reputation gains, an achievement, and even the chance to get one of three new rare mounts. I think considering that the dinosaurs are tied to the Zandalari and the trolls and such, I would not be surprised if at least two of those three mounts are dinosaur related.
I gotta say, those are pretty awesome looking. I was talking about this in the pre-show. I really love the beaver.
The thunder beaver.
Yes, this is me, the Canadian, mm-hmm. saying so, just to clarify, but I really love that.
You're hoping it's a pet and not a boss, aren't you?
I am. Or that the boss drops a pet, one of the two.
That would be funny.
A thunder beaver would be awesome.
That would be funny if the raid had to fight a giant thunder beaver.
Dear fellow Canadians, I'm going to say it now. I think this is probably our tribute to Canada.
Oh my.
Probably all we're going to get. but seriously, there's some really neat stuff. But I mean, most of the stuff hasn't been data mined yet. We do have a few things. There was a red panda pet that was data mined that was really was really neat. I think somebody said that there's an achievement you have to complete to get that or something. Just trying to see if there's no. I don't see any comments. Again, this is kind of how things are in the early days, where you never quite know what exactly is.
As far as new companion pets that have been data mined so far, we know of the existence of a red panda, a living sandling, which appears to be an elemental made out of sand, and a Gusting Grimoire, which is just another flying book model similar to the books that you now see around Dalaran Crater. A couple other things that have popped up from data mining files is a Hearthstone-like item called a Dark Portal, which is a miniature version of the Dark Portal. That possibly could be tied into the Warlock quest for Green Fire. That's a possibility. I don't know if they would make something like that as a Warlock exclusive reward. I think Green Fire's... I'm good with Green Fire as it is. If they make that questline available to all classes, maybe that could be a reward item for other people to get. Or that could simply be an item that they've put into the files for the next collectible card game as a loot card code. That's very possible, too. Other stuff, something that really interested me was that they are continuing to add in things to make the Darkmoon Fair more interesting, and I'm really excited and happy that they're continuing to make the Darkmoon Fair relevant as the expansion goes along. So we have in the data mining a description for one of the Darkmoon hats is a Darkmoon fishing cap, which gives +5 to your fishing skill and allows you to summon a pool of shipwrecked debris while the Darkmoon Fair is going on, and there's like a 1-hour cooldown on that, so I thought that was pretty cool. And they also have a Darkmoon top hat, which gives you a experience and reputation gain that's consumed on use. So they're finding other ways for consumable rewards that could possibly be purchased with Darkmoon tickets. We don't know for sure. There's also a Darkmoon Game Prize, which is a gift that you use it to see what's inside. That could be something else that you buy with tickets. Who knows? But they're continuing to add to the Darkmoon Fair to make it relevant, which is definitely a step in the right direction to providing other activities for players to be a part of. It just goes to show that it's not only... Blizzard is trying to not only service the people who love to raid and love to do, dailies for those of you out there who love that. But they're trying to appease all the people who like the fun, more casual aspects of the game too with every content patch, and that's definitely a step in the right direction.
So, you know, I was saying about the Red Panda pet. It looks like there'll be elite battle pets. That you'll have one elite battle pet that will face off against your three pet team, and there'll be a quest that'll track your progress, and the award for defeating the quest will be the Red Panda pet. So that's really awesome. Another thing is, I think a couple of things that are really amazing for me. We talked about, you kind of hinted this a little earlier. When you're now facing a world boss, there'll be what's called a faction tap. So anybody on your faction can get in on that fight and get loot from that boss without having to be in your raid or group to do so. I think that's going to be great. I can't remember how many times I've sat by and watched as alliance group after alliance group killed the Shaw of Anger without inviting me or even responding to my request to see whether they were looking for more people. So it's really awesome to see that that they are making it so you can do as much as you want without having to worry about whether you're in the group.
That's right. And there are going to be two new world bosses to add to that system. They're going to have a large devil sore boss called Undasta, which is found on the Isle of Giants, which I guess is like a smaller island off of the one that the Thunder King is on. And then after the Isle of the Thunder King has been conquered. So one thing I forgot, I'll backtrack a little quick here. The Isle of the Thunder King is a daily quest hub, and from what I've read in the official patch notes, it looks like they're trying to design it very similar to how the Isle of Keldanos back in Burning Crusade worked, in that as the fight continues, as the war effort goes on and you're helping either the Alliance or Horde, whichever side you're on, new features to the Isle, new daily quests are going to open up, new features of the Isle will open up, one of those things being a special forge for blacksmiths to create rare level weapons. And at some point, I would imagine, based on the notes, once you have everything unlocked, you'll unlock the ability for this other world boss, Nalak the Stormlord, who's the gate guardian of the Thunder King's Citadel, will appear. One thing that I'm curious about is if Nalak the Stormlord is the gate guardian of the Thunder King's Citadel, and he's not unlocked until more things happen in the war effort, a big question that comes up to my mind is, will people be able to raid at week 1 of 5.2? Or is it possible that the raid won't be opened up right away?
I wouldn't be surprised if it may not be opened up right away. They do, or they have so far, you know, enjoyed taking their time and making sure that, you know, players are ready. So the fact that they get everything, you know, in right away does not necessarily mean that the patch will launch right away.
Mm-hmm.
How long that'll take, I really don't know. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a week or two maybe. But I don't see that they would really feel the need to bring the patch out until such time as they were actually, you know, very ready for it.
We can probably expect that with 12 bosses, they say that the raid is divided into 4 wings of 3 bosses each. So there'll be 4 different LFRs.
Yeah, that's for LFR, yeah.
We can pretty much expect that players who are doing Raid Finder will probably only be able to access one wing on the first week, and then perhaps a week or two later get access to the next wing, and so on and so forth, in a similar vein to what we saw with the initial tier.
I think that probably makes sense. I was kind of figuring 4 tiers, or 4 wings for LFR, because all of the current LFR is 3 to 4 bosses, with the Terrace of the Spring kind of being special because it only has 4 bosses, mm-hmm. So it really wouldn't make sense to separate into two sets of 2. That's definitely something that I'm interested in, and I'm hoping that I will be up to par when it launches in LFR, but I suspect we'll have it very much like it was for all the other raids. You know, normal mode 1 week, LFR and heroic the next week, and so on.
So, Metris, I have a question to ask you.
Yes, I want to see Garrosh killed. Was that your question, sorry?
No. Do you remember, let's turn the clock back about several months, do you remember when Mists of Pandaria was in beta and just about to come out, and people were noticing that there were no more head enchantments? Do you remember that Blizzard said that they felt like having to grind for a head enchantment was just too much of a pain and unnecessary, and that's why they got rid of head enchantments altogether?
I happen to remember that, yes.
Yes. So, in that case, what would your opinion be on the reward for the 5.2 part of the Legendary Quest chain being a new head enchantment?
Those who have not been working on the Rathian quest line are going to be kicking themselves. Not going to say I'm surprised. I kind of figured they'd probably bring something back. I'm happy that they didn't tie it into a new rep that everybody has to grind. But most of those people who are going to really want this, the min-maxers doing, you know, progression raiding, they already have their Rathian rep that they want for now, and they'll get more in 5.2. I'm actually curious what they're going to do with Rathian's rep, because, you know, we went up to honored in release. Now we're up to revered in 5.1. You know, are we going to go up to exalted in 5.2, or are they going to try and drag that out a little bit more? I'm very curious.
I think that 5.2 will be a patch where we have collection quests, where we won't necessarily have a reputation grind. So 5.0 and 5.1 have both had 2 quests tied to the Legendary quest line. I think in 5.2 we will probably have a quest where you have to collect items that drop off of bosses in the Thunder King raid. Then I believe that the other part of the grind for Rathian will probably be tied to the Shadowpan reputation that can only be gained through the Thunder King raid. Because they do mention in there with... they say the Shadow Pan joined the Shadow Pan assault in their singular drive to see Lei Shen, the Thunder King, defeated. So I imagine you'll have to get exalted with Shadow Pan assault and collect a certain number of items off of bosses.
Yeah, that sounds plausible. And then maybe, you know, going to exalted in 5.3 might make sense. But you know, they have lots of time. I think we have at least another raid or two before we, you know, are wrapping up Mists of Pandaria, I think. Though, of course, I could always be wrong. It's always a possibility for that.
Just one last thing that I wanted to mention for people knowing what's coming up in 5.2. You will be happy to know that there are files for heirlooms to now scale up to level 85. So all of those heirloom items you had that originally can only go up to level 80... it looks like they will have new versions or be updated to scale up to level 85, which will make people leveling alts very happy. They are also adding some new heirlooms, including things such as shields, offhands, intellect plate, which will make holy pallies that are leveling very happy there. We're also going to see some old Zul'aman and Zul'Gurub model transmog gear that's eye level 429 possibly. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff, guys. We've probably only covered half of the stuff that they have found in data mining just in the first couple of days. Highly recommend that you check out MMO Champion, Wowhead, all those sites, and keep an eye on it for the next week or two if you're interested in that stuff. There will be plenty to talk about for the next couple months as far as 5.2 goes.
One more thing each was one that I'm excited about, and that is that you can purchase Sungsan Ranch.
Yes.
And you can set your Hearthstone there.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And another thing about Sungsan Ranch, kind of an interesting thing that they've thrown in, is that they've talked about filling work orders to gain reputation with factions. So I guess, you know, you grow enough vegetables to complete some sort of quest and you get another source for reputation gain. I am interested in seeing if this will only apply to the older factions. Will we see this option for Operation Shield Wall and Dominance Offensive? Will we see this option for the factions that appear on the Isle of the Thunder King? That remains to be seen, but having alternate ways to gain reputation, especially based on all the comments and opinions that people have lately, it's definitely good to have other ways to get rep.
Absolutely. I'm going to guess something else that you're excited about. A codex?
I'm sorry?
A codex?
I don't think that's happening till like 5.7.
All right.
I said before, and I will continue to say again, I'm going to assume that Green Fire is not happening until the end of the expansion. Blizzard, feel free to prove me wrong. Feel free to show me how much of a liar and how much of a fool I am, and give me Green Fire in 5.2, and then I'll say, yep, I was wrong. But until I actually see it happen, until it's applied to the live server, I'm going to assume that Green Fire is not coming just yet. I will not be Charlie Brown anymore. I will not kick that green flaming football.
All right. Then we will see what comes. One other item you're excited about?
I like all the changes that are coming to pet battles, even though I haven't done as much pet battle stuff as I'd like to. Having the boss fights that you talked about, the elite boss pet battle stuff, that's going to be pretty exciting. Some other things with pet battles. Level capped, we talked about this, I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but level capped players will have a chance to earn Lesser Charms of Good Fortune after winning a pet battle versus a pet within 5 levels of the highest level pet on their team. So there's going to be a way besides dailies to get Lesser Charms. I think that's setting an interesting precedent. And they're making a lot of changes to a lot of changes to pet battles, just continuing to improve the system. It's very clear that a lot of people are participating in it, and they're going to make this something that keeps on getting bigger and bigger as all the other content's getting added onto.
Definitely something that is very exciting, I gotta say. And like we said before, you know, there's lots more content, lots more to talk about coming forward and coming up in the future. So definitely stay tuned. Keep watching the fan sites, and we will have lots of great content coming your way, as well as lots of content from other fan sites and other community sites as well.
Yep. So there's another thing that's been going on lately.
Yeah.
And that's this little thing called Wintervale.
Indeed.
A couple of things about Wintervale. Not a whole lot has been added to it, we have seen a couple of interesting things around the podcasting community as far as Wintervale stuff goes. And I actually got to be a part of this parody holiday song, including, you know, podcasters from Convert to Raid. Kevin from Dark Moon Herald was on there. Twiz from Twizcast was part of it. Some segment creators were part of it too. And you can find it at revengeek.blogspot.com. I believe we're also going to include it in the show.
Yeah, we will have that right now. So let's play that right now.
In the recent explorations into Pandaria, we've seen heroes taking to daily areas in record numbers. It seems it's all they're focused on. Revan Geek felt it was time for the community to come together from the daily zones and remember what this season is truly about. And he asked some of his friends to help out.
It's Wintervale. In Great Father Winter believe. Through Wintervale, there's presents under the tree to receive.
But while some free medicine by dropping that nasty creech,
so many others are on the grind.
Golden Lotus and the Klaxi too.
The Wheel of the Klaxi.
Even through winter's veil, it's all some people do.
There's a life outside of dailies and the bitter slog of tears.
As they go on each and every day to get all the purple gear.
And as you wear your sweater while bringing your enemies through,
well, tonight they ghost crawler, it's them.
Instead of you.
And there won't be snow in the tiller fields this winter, and the only gift they'll get this year is the brine. While their cabbage grows, we're crashing, crashing with our bros.
Finding sap both far and near.
Do they know it's Wintervale at all?
For the whore.
Hey, what about us Alliance?
Quiet, gnome. You're too short. Nobody likes your 6 pixels of font, okay?
What are you talking about? You're a goblin.
I'm taller than you.
Yourself a hunter. You couldn't find your shadow in the light of day.
Heal this one. The white curse you.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
dog-eared, grape-skinned, tree-hugging pansies.
Profiteering!
Your mother wears stinky greaves.
What is this premise?
Well, after money was paid to the Gnomish Recording Facility to cover the damage of the brawl, the fundraising effort netted enough to buy one complete stack of Darnassian Blue. Better luck bringing the world together next year.
And thank you very much to all the folks in the community who participated in that, and it's awesome. Thank you.
Yep, that was very fun to make, and I actually, if you listen to the whole choir part, I wasn't all of those bad voices. I was only about 1/4 of them. I actually, when I recorded some of the tracks for that song, I recorded myself singing the choir part 4 different times in 4 different voices. So I'd be like my regular voice, and then I'd have a deep baritone voice singing, and my voice is like really shot right now, so I couldn't try singing it in the baritone voice if I tried. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Had a great deal of fun with that. We did a few days ago ask for season's greetings, and we didn't get too much, which is understandable. I mean, everyone's right now, you know, trying to get last minute gifts, making holiday travel plans and all that. So you guys, we totally understand that everyone's busy this time of year, which is no big problem whatsoever. We did get one interesting thing, though. Lignar from Epic Podcast, he gave me a little thing that he did for his show, and I think a couple other shows are doing it too, and it's an interesting little story called The Last Raid Before Christmas, and I do believe we have that right now, so enjoy that.
'Twas the last raid before Christmas and all through the guild. The raiders were hoping for one more boss kill. The banquets were offered, stat buffs would be there, in hopes that this boss would stop breathing air. The healers were chatting about who would heal who, while the raid lead repeated, "I'll stack on the blue." The tanks in her armor, the deeps ready to snap, all were ready to give this boss a dirt nap. When Vent came alive with all sorts of chatter, I became all alert to see what was the matter. Holding back laughter, I'd wondered who'd spoke. Someone had just told an off-color joke. The laughter died down and chatter subsided, some already scheming how loot'll be divided. When ready to pull, raid chat raised my ire, I saw someone say, "AFK, cat just caught fire." Fire put out, we were ready to go. We got a quick rundown of when cooldowns to blow. Taunting the boss, the tank thought this the same as conquest before he remembered by name. Down Zanaz, down Stoneguard, down Cho'Gall, and Deathwing. We downed these in service of Varian, our king. With all of these pulls, our purpose was clear. We wanted to kill bosses, get loot, and get gear. This felt like the millionth time for this pull. We'd struggled before, keeping our health bars all full. Why did it feel like we were stuck in a loop? Because too many people kept standing in poop. This pull was no different than those in the past. People were taking too much damage to last. In the interest of seeing the fight's mechanics, the raid lead pushed on, almost in a panic. Mass res, eat food, get flasked and rebuffed. The raiders were starting to feel pretty gruff. After a pep talk and a quick strat review, we ran toward the bouncing square marker of blue. And then came that moment where it all seems to click. As seconds ticked by, the boss's health dropped quick. Tears came over Vent as he fell to the floor. We proved this boss is a brick wall no more. We rezzed and rebuffed the raiders that died and took a screenshot to bolster guild pride. The loot was announced, some taking it hard. Since no upgrades dropped, we turned them to shards. We killed lots of trash as we went on our way, with hopes a zone drop would make someone's day. We moved down the hall toward the next boss, thinking no useful loot will cause some to be cross. We got one attempt before time expired. It was all for the best as our raiders retired. We called it a night and went on our way, knowing we'd be back in just a few days. Before dropping from Vent, the raid leader spoke, "Research this fight. Next time this dude croaks. Thanks for coming, you guys. It was fun, and I'm already eager for our next run."
And thank you very much to Lignar of Epic Podcast for that. And some great, great Christmas content out there this year from community people.
Absolutely. So what's our question of the week going to be for next show?
Our question of the week for next week is, what has you most excited about patch 5.2?
Sounds like a plan to me. There's plenty of stuff to choose from. And as far as we know, between now and next week, there might be stuff we haven't even thought of yet.
Oh, very much. There's lots of stuff that I'm sure we're going to hear about. Though even more will come when the 5.2 PTR actually goes live.
Yep, I cannot wait to get on the PTR. I'll definitely be checking out a lot of the stuff. I don't know if I'll be checking out the rating stuff as much as the other little knickknacks. I'm especially interested in the whole Zandalari invasion thing. I want to see how they play that out.
Now, I want to remind everybody, we do still have the intro contest. At this point, we're only at the first level, and I really want to give this collector's edition away. So definitely get your creative juices flowing, get those intros into us, and we'll be excited to give away lots of great prizes. And also, we do have a survey contest. It's very simple. Answer a few questions, enter your email address, and you get entered for a survey, or get entered for a prize to win a 60-day WoW game card, so definitely check that out. And that's, again, found in our show notes at allthingsazeroth.com. You want to tell people how they can find us?
Absolutely. You can reach us by voicemail at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. Emails, all of these are at allthingsazeroth.com, so you can reach show@allthingsazeroth.com. Medros@allthingsazeroth.com, Row@Row, so on and so on, and Nanania@allthingsazeroth.com. Twitter, you can find our Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, I'm at RowWow, Nanania is at NananiaWow, and Dawnforge Productions is at Dawnforge. Please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, which includes Group Quest, All Things Edible, Halfway Around the World, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, the new show The Chaos Portal, and the soon-to-be Steamforge podcast covering the Steam software platform, which would really be interesting to hear from in light of the big winter sale going on right now. So I'm definitely happy that I do not have a whole lot of money to spend on the Steam sale, because yeah, I have too many games as it is.
I can concur. Of course, you can also check our web host, dreamhost.com. And if you use the code STORMSTOUT when you sign up for a new hosting account, you'll save $50 off of any new hosting account. So love to check that out. Again, that's dreamhost.com. And thank you to them for great hosting at great prices. So we'll be back next week on our regular date, which is the Monday, the 31st of December, with our New Year's Eve special. We'll be talking about all kinds of stuff, including what we remember best about this past year, what we are looking forward to about next year, and more. So definitely tune in next week. Okay, of course, Monday around 8 p.m. Central Time for All Things Azeroth Live. And check us out on Download 2. That's, again, at allthingsazeroth.com. And we will see you next week. So in the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the Thunder King.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Indeed. Take care, and happy Wintervale.
This has been a presentation of Dawnforge, copyright 2012. Find great podcasts and more at thedawnforge.com.
Welcome to another edition of Engineering It Up. I'm your host, LeGrayson, and today I will go over how to make sure your WoW is running the correct version of DirectX for your video card. A quick note, Windows 7 and beyond are the only Windows operating systems that support DirectX 11 fully. Older versions will be limited to DirectX 9. The first step is to make sure you download and install the June 2010 DirectX SDK. You can actually uninstall this after we're done, as you will likely no longer need it. This can be found in the link in the show notes or from Microsoft's download site by searching for it. Once you have this installed, click the Start menu and search for DirectX Caps Viewer, or search for dxcapsviewer.exe and run it. This program will list all of your devices and what they support. Open the folder for your video card, and if you see Direct3D 11, open it, otherwise you only are supporting DirectX 9. Once you have the DirectX version opened, select the D3D feature level and verify that it says yes on everything. This will tell you which version your operating system supports. So now that you know what version your card can use, let's make sure WoW is set up properly. You can do this by opening the WoW launcher and selecting Options and then Game Preferences. In this dialog, make sure that you set the Graphics API selection to the correct version of DirectX for your card, either 9 or 11. Click OK to save your settings, and that's it. WoW is now configured to use the best version of DirectX for your system, in order to give you the best graphics performance. For suggestions, questions, or just to tell me how much you hate this segment, email me at legrayson@gmail.com or on Twitter at legrayson. Until next time, enjoy your WoW experience, and don't forget, there are always ways to squeeze a little more out of your gaming rig.